Welcome to Sports Hour. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It is Thursday here on WNYO. Classes are back. The parking lot was full this morning, which I was a little bit confused about why it was full because it hadn't been full for 3 days straight. Aaron Valentino here with you on this Thursday. Brandon Ladd is at the orthodontist as we are currently speaking live on air. And joining me on the show today for our NFL preview is Jake Johnson, and making his return to the WNYO studios for the first time in 2 years, it's Brian Rudman. Guys, how are we feeling on this week one NFL Thursday?
I'm excited that it's football season. It's back. We got some Cowboys Buccaneers tonight, Giants on Sunday. Don't forget, it is still baseball season, though.
And yeah, I'm excited.
I got a team to root for here.
Well, it's good to be back, but it's also just like baseball season, getting down to the nitty-gritty. That Red Sox-Rays game last night was crazy. I showed you some of the plays from that one, Aaron. So baseball season, he's heating up. We're seeing that. And NFL, right back. Exciting time.
You two are the only people on Earth where I could ask how we feel about football coming back, and you two bring up baseball. You're the only two people on Earth that would say that.
Well, because it's the middle of baseball season. I got a team in the middle of a pennant race.
We do. And all three of our teams are in the middle
of a pennant
race.
Also, not for nothing, as a Jets fan and a Red Sox fan, I'm much more excited about where the Red Sox are right now than the New York Jets.
Yes, we'll get to all that. We'll get to the Jets. We'll get to the Giants. We'll get to the Bills. But as Jake and Brian said, there is some baseball that we do have to get to before we get to the NFL tonight, Thursday night. Bucks, Cowboys kicking us off, and then week one will officially begin on Sunday at 1 o'clock with the various different amount of games. But let's get to what happened last night. And the Mets, they lost a heartbreaker last night by a final score of 2-1. And it really kind of felt like this could have been the dagger for the Mets, Jake. But luckily for Mets fans and for Phillies fans as well, the Braves did lose to Nationals by a final score of 4-2.
Yeah, it was a tough game. I was talking to you about this earlier. And honestly, the Nationals plunking Freddie Freeman on purpose worked out in their favor. Their starting pitcher went a third of an inning. He got one out and let a runner on base and then proceeded to plunk Freddie Freeman. So all the Braves prep for that starting pitcher, out the window. It was a bullpen game, and they ended up losing 4-2. It was Juan Soto hit an absolute monster home run, as he does. I don't know why we don't just hit him every time he comes up to the plate. And then we lost 4-2. We're back at it tonight. Huascar, on the mound. Eric Fetty.
I asked you about the Mets loss last night, right?
I don't talk about the Mets.
Brian, it was a heartbreaker last night. Edwin Diaz in the ninth comes in. It's 2-1. He gets two outs. The best hitter on the Marlins is De La Cruz, and Luis Rojas elects to pitch to him. De La Cruz is one of the hottest hitters on the planet, and he hits a ball that goes over the center fielder's head. I think it was Kevin Pillar at the time. And the Mets lose 2-1.
Yeah, well, we were watching that game, and we were both questioning it right off the bat.
It's so bad.
Right, De La Cruz.
That's a fireable offense.
Yeah, that's their hottest hitter right now, and you had two bases open. And, who was the batter before? Was it Diaz?
Yeah. I don't even know. I'm just still, astonished that Rojas decided to pitch to De La Cruz rather than Deion Lewis.
Right.
It was, who's hitting 107?
Yeah. Yeah, that was just bad. So it was Sanchez. I'm looking at the lineup right now. It was Sanchez. And we were sitting there, and he got Sanchez out. He gives himself a chance, right? He gives himself a chance in the inning, right? I believe there were two outs at the time.
Yep.
And you have two open bases. And I said to you,
don't
walk both guys, but you walk De La Cruz. You walk this guy to face the weaker hitter.
His run doesn't matter.
Right? His run doesn't matter. You walk him. But you don't walk the bases loaded in case Diaz gets a little wild, which he can on occasion. A lot of relief pitchers do. But yeah, that was just a big mistake.
Jake, that's a fireable offense, pitching to that guy right there. And Rojas has been on, he's been had an up and down season. And that is going to be written in Sandy Alderson's book about whether or not to keep Rojas on for next year.
I feel like we've said that so many times this year, though, about Luis Rojas is, oh, wow, that's a fireable offense. Because he has made some questionable decisions when it comes to bullpen, starting lineups, whether to pitch to someone, whether not to pitch to someone.
Whether he's to take someone out.
He's made some questionable decisions. I don't know if we'll see him back. I guess it all depends on how the Mets do down this September
stretch. This final stretch is really going to be the big determining factor.
If they make the playoffs, he stays.
Listen, at the end of the day, they're at 500 right now. If they make a playoff push and get there, you can't fire a guy who gets you to the playoffs for the first time in four or five years?
I was going
to
say
it would be five years.
Yeah, right? Cut off Girardi.
Well, listen, that was a different situation. I disagreed with that.
Yeah, they shouldn't have fired Girardi.
They shouldn't have fired Girardi. But you can't fire a guy who gets you the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. But at the end of the day, when you do this and then you don't make the playoffs and you lose to a team that you should be beating.
Yeah, this that, is one of the
and
reasons
you, and it happens in this sense where you're letting the hottest hitter on their team hit in a walk-off situation. That just can't happen.
Mets, Marlins tonight, 6:40. Marcus Stroman on the mound for New York. That's going to be a godsend for them. And they look to win the series against the Marlins before going into a three-game set against the New York Yankees, who once again lost last night by a final score of 6-3. And the Yankees didn't have as good a look at the Mets as the Mets because the Red Sox beat the Rays last night. And the Red Sox take over the first wild card spot. The Blue Jays, Brian, just 1.5 back of the Yankees now for the playoff spot.
Man, this Blue Jays team is scary. You talk about their lineup all year, and you look at them, they're kind of what the Yankees were supposed to be at this point. Dominant lineup with a great ace at the top, right? Jose Berrios has been great. Robbie Ray's been great. That's what the Yankees were supposed to be this year, right? They were supposed to be that exciting team. And right now, this Blue Jays team is making a push, and with the Yankees falling off, after their win streak ended, they have fallen off. They're in danger. They may come in fourth place, which is crazy. Like a week ago,
and they'll be like 20 games over 500.
Yeah, a week and a half ago, we were saying they might win the division. They were coming out of nowhere. Like people were saying the division's not over. It is now. The Rays have it.
That's what happens when you lose five straight. Right, Jake?
Yeah, and I've said this from the beginning of the season and more recently in the last couple of weeks. Mike Gross needs to get the receipts. I said, watch out for the Toronto Blue Jays. They are coming. That lineup is lethal. They play the Orioles a lot. They're making a comeback right now against the Yankees. They haven't even played the Orioles yet. It's scary. If I were the Yankees, I would be worried because this Blue Jays team is getting really good at the right time. They're going to be playing some really bad teams at the right time. And I think they have a chance.
And you know what's dangerous, right? The Yankees play the Mets and they play the Red Sox in the next like week and a half. The Red Sox play the Orioles, have two series left against the Orioles and a series against the Nationals. The Red Sox and Blue Jays both have easy schedules. The Yankees do not and are not playing good baseball right now. They're in trouble.
Yeah, it would be really big for the New York Mets if the Yankees came in struggling as much as they do. Red Sox currently sit at 80-62, a half a game up over the Yankees for the second wild card spot, who are 78-61. The Yankees have lost five in a row. They've won two of their last 10. Toronto, a game and a half back. They've won seven in a row. They've won nine of their last 10. And guess what? The other two teams are right behind them as well. The Seattle Mariners are 76-64, 2.5 back. They've won seven of their last 10. And Oakland, they're still hanging around 75-64. Jake, this AL wild card race, it's still heating up.
Yeah, I watched a really good game the other night. Mariners Astros went to extra innings. Really was pulling for the Mariners, but Carlos Correa ended up hitting a walk-off double, and they were up by two. The Mariners were in the ninth inning. Bregman, two-run bomb with an out in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was a good game, though, to watch. The Mariners, I've been rooting for them since the beginning just because I want to see this team make it back.
Ever since the John Boyce documentary.
So bad. Just want to see them back in the playoffs. And then you know the A's, they're always going to hang around, and they're going to make the wild card, and they're going to lose. That's how the A's operate their baseball.
That's just their end. Like the season ends at the end of the regular season.
But to see the Mariners, like forget the. I like the Blue Jays. I love Vladdy. All that, but the Mariners haven't made the postseason since 2001. Like, to see them back there would just be so awesome. It would be so good for everybody if they made the playoffs.
And for the Red Sox, because they would destroy them.
Yeah, this is going to get really intense because I can tell you the Red Sox schedule right now. 3 in Chicago this weekend. Then they go to Seattle. So the Red Sox and Mariners match up. And then the Red Sox have
huge
the Orioles, at home, the Mets at home for two, the Yankees at home before going to Baltimore and Washington to end the season. So the Red Sox have games against either teams in this wild card race for the most part or against teams they should mop the floor with.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun stretch to watch of baseball down the stretch here with just a couple more weeks to go. But it is week one of the NFL season. We got previews for the Bills, the Giants, and the Jets coming your way. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to talk about the Buffalo Bills as we enter week one of the NFL season. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. What do you guys think of this song?
I already can tell you I don't enjoy it thoroughly at all, actually.
I was driving. It's by Crying. I played this song on Tuesday for the Sports Board Edition. And I was literally just driving one day home listening to WNYO, and this song came on. It's called Old World. So weird, right? It's in the rotation.
I don't even know who Crying is.
I know. Yeah, right. And the band is called Crying.
That must have been put in the rotation in, like, I don't know.
1914.
Yes. The 70s.
The station didn't exist in
the 90s. I don't know.
Yeah. But I don't know when it was released. I think it's a... I mean, it sounds like Super Mario music, so it kind of seems like it's recent, but I don't know. I really want... I'm going to play that song for Lad on Monday, too.
I'm interested to see what Lad would say about
old
that.
Old World is spelled with an E. Yeah, it's this one.
2014 is the official audio.
Wow. Yeah.
And from Genius, our magical
music friend.
That doesn't apparently tell us when it came out. Just tells us the lyrics.
Yeah. It's just always been in existence.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it has always been in existence.
We'll go 2014.
It was just opened up WMYO and it was in the system.
Yeah. Yes, it's just always been
there. They also have a song called Vacation, Aaron.
That's cool. Maybe I'll get really into the band called Crying.
We'll see though.
Maybe
that's going to be playing throughout our apartment. Jake, I think I have to move.
Yeah.
All right. It is week one of the NFL season. We've got three football teams in New York, and we are going to give a season preview for all of them. I really wanted to get a Bills fan in here to talk about the best team in New York. And the one knowledgeable Bills fan we know, unfortunately, graduated in Luke Owens. And the unfortunate thing for Bills fans who are listening.
Happy to call
Luke, if you're listening, there's no way you are. But if you're listening, you're more than welcome to call in.
Maybe Pat's listening
because
you text him.
The thing about the three of us is that none of us, Brian and I have an actual reason not to like the Bills, but Jake, you don't like the Bills either.
Yeah.
I just don't like Josh Allen. Yeah, I don't like Bills fans.
Bills fans is really kind of what pushed me off the edge of the Bills.
Well, coming to Oswego, it was just they're all over the place.
I didn't realize how annoying Bills fans were until I got to Oswego. Like, I didn't really care about them until I got to Oswego.
Yeah. Well,
and then they drafted that godforsaken kid with a cannon of an arm, and now he's signed for.
I never really cared. Like, whenever the Jets played the Bills, I wanted them to win because I want the Jets to win. But like, I never really, really cared about the Jets beating the Bills until I lived with a Bills fan my freshman year, and that was just like.
Sal was a big Bills fan.
He's from Buffalo, man.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
You know, back in Lake George, there's no Bills fans. Like, everyone either likes the Giants, they weirdly like the Cowboys, or they're Jets fans.
The Cowboys,
but there was really no one that was like, "Yo, I'm a Bills fan." So there was no reason to hate them, but then coming here, you meet all these people, and you're like, nah, I really understand why I don't like this team.
Yeah, no, I really don't like
this
team.
They got O.J. Simpson at one point.
All right, we don't have to get into that. All right, but let's start with the big and obvious thing, and that's, of course, Josh Allen. He's now officially the best quarterback in the division. There's no denying it. This is a team that went to the AFC Championship last year. He's got a brand new contract. He signed through 2028. He signed for $250 million, something like that. I can't think of the number off my head. And Brian, you know, Josh Allen, the Bills finally have their guy, and he's looking to bring them right back to the AFC Championship this year.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no reason to think that they won't.
There's no reason to think that they won't.
Right? Realistically, they're one of the top teams in the AFC, and they're in one of the most unproven divisions in the AFC, if you think about this AFC East, but we'll get into that more a little later. But yeah, Josh Allen's their guy. You watch him play, he's delivering great passes. And you know what's the most infuriating thing about watching this team? They don't run the football ever. And it still works.
Yeah, they're going to have to run the football.
Like Josh Allen. Well, that's a point that we'll have to bring up. It really comes into question when they play the Chiefs because you got to control the ball. But they got away with it all of last year. It didn't matter. They didn't run the football other than Josh Allen taking off and running every once in a while, which it was also impossible to tackle him because he's huge and fast.
Yeah, Singletary, who had a good rookie year, didn't play well last year, and their running game was shot, Jake.
Well, that's the thing is they really don't have like a proven number one running back. That's the thing.
They have Moss. I think Moss.
They have Zach
Singletary.
Moss and they have Singletary. But like you're looking,
and
at
fine.
You're looking at these caliber teams. You got the Chiefs with Edwards-Helaire. You had Leonard Fournette, and Ronald Jones on the Buccaneers. And then teams like the Packers have Aaron Jones, Saints, Alvin Kamara. They have that proven guy. This Bills team, yeah, you have Josh Allen who runs the football really well. And like Brian just said, really big, super fast, can't tackle him. But they don't have that running back where...
And you also don't want him running too much either.
Yeah, you don't want him taking hits.
Like, he's not going to... You're not going to have design... Run. The
that's
only
a
time you're going to get
$250 million piece
of
equipment.
Only time you're going to see Josh Allen run is when he pulls the ball down. They're never... Right. You know, it's very rare that, especially now that he's on the long-term deal, that they're going to let him run.
It's not a Lamar Jackson. It's not a Jalen Hurts. It's not a...
It's not even a Patrick Mahomes.
Right, yeah. You got to keep him healthy.
Yeah, no, you absolutely have
and
to
they don't
healthy.
Have that guy where, you know... Like I just said with Lamar Jackson, they can run a lot of option plays.
Right.
They can pull it down, give it to their running back, or Lamar runs. The Bills can't really do that because you don't have that running back that you trust to hand the ball in that situation, so you're not running any of those option plays with Josh Allen.
And the reason why they were able to throw the ball all the time, and the biggest reason I think in my eyes, is of course Stephon Diggs. He's coming back for another year. He really turned himself into one of the best wideouts in the NFL. He already was on the Vikings. And then he got to Buffalo, and he met Josh Allen, who has a cannon for an arm, and he's also the true number one receiver now that Adam Thielen's not in his way, Brian. And the Bills, yeah, they're going to throw. They're going to try and air it out every single play. But again, you know, Stephon Diggs is just such a huge part of that.
Well, he's so dynamic. You watch him. He's got great hands. His footwork's great, and he gets open all the time, you know? That you watched Bills games last year, he was always open. There was, you know, he was the guy, right? You think a defense would key in on the obvious number one target, but Diggs was just always open. So he did such a great job, and he had such a great chemistry from the jump with Josh Allen, which is insane to think about last year, where you didn't have those offseason, you know, those extra offseason practices, and you didn't have, you know, training camp wasn't the same, and because they weren't in the same position group, they weren't always having the same meetings, and no preseason, and they just got on the field week one and torched the Jets, and it just continued the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Bills, I mean, not only Stephon Diggs, you're looking at their depth chart here with their wide receivers. Gabriel Davis had a breakout year. He played really well. And you have a guy you picked up, Emmanuel Sanders. He's someone that in the slot can work so well. Isaiah McKenzie, speed. Cole Beasley, it's that trusted guy. Cole Beasley is always... Yeah, we can laugh about Cole Beasley and all his interesting takes that he's decided this offseason, but he's that guy that you go to when you need a shirt in 5 yards.
You're right. He's like the Bills version of what, you know, Edelman and Welker were. Not to the same level, but he serves that role for the Bills like what they were for the Patriots.
He plays this role really well.
Yeah,
and especially,
exactly.
I remember when he got there the first year, he was like the number one guy, and then they got Diggs, and it just...
Well,
like,
he's not an outside guy. You put him in the slot, he'll find his ways underneath for those 5 yard receptions where the defense is dropping back. And you just dump it to him, and it'll get you 15 yards.
Yeah, he makes it work with his feet. He's really good after the catch, so... He's a guy that you got to trust. And Dawson Knox at tight end, really bad last year. I think he has a better year this year.
Now, I'm looking at the AFC. I'm looking at the American Football Conference here. And I'm being honest. The only team that looks like they're better than the Bills, and it's the obvious answer, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm looking at everybody else. I really don't see. I mean, Lamar has disappointed me in the playoffs time and time again. The Ravens really in general disappointed me last year. I thought they were going to be like, you know, the team that was like right below the Chiefs. But other than the Ravens and Chiefs, I don't really see anybody, Jake, that, you know, compares to this Buffalo Bills team in the AFC.
There's not much. I mean, you look at those two teams you mentioned, another one that's, I'm not going to say as good as the Bills, but up there, the Titans. They added Julio Jones. They have A.J. Brown. Derrick Henry is... Oh,
and they also, well, they control the ball so well.
When you have a guy like Derrick Henry, you can give him the ball 60 times a game.
Right, yeah. They're going to... Like, the Titans will win the possession battle. And the one dangerous thing about the Bills is that they can get one-dimensional. If they run into a really good passing defense, they get one-dimensional. And that's where they'll run into problems. And also, in the regular season, they have to go to Kansas City and go to Tennessee in back-to-back weeks at the beginning and the middle of October, and that can be a little dangerous for them. Because at the end of the day, if they have to go to Tennessee in the playoffs, that may be a problem.
Yeah,
that may be an issue. And also, to your point with the Ravens, they have disappointed in the past, but you think back to that divisional round
game.
They
still don't have any receivers, by the way.
You're right. They don't. But the Ravens, if you look at that, you go back to that game. It was a one-possession game before Lamar Jackson got hurt.
Yeah.
And then it was a two-possession game, but Lamar Jackson got hurt the play after he threw a pick six in the end zone. You remember that 100-yard pick six?
Yeah.
If that play breaks the other way, it's either a 4-point game or it's a tie game. Late in the game. So the Ravens were close, and then Jackson got hurt. And the other thing you have to keep in mind, the Browns aren't on that same level, but they have a good defense, and they have enough weapons where they can be a little unpredictable. They can ruin somebody's party in the playoffs, I think.
Now, is anybody? Mac Jones and Bill Belichick,
no.
Tua Tagovailoa,
no.
Or even, God forbid, is Mormon Mahomes going to test the Bills for the AFC East title?
No. None of those three that you just mentioned.
What's the Bills' record?
It's 17 this year, right?
Yeah. Yes. I'm 13-4.
I think 12 or 13 wins.
Yeah, 12 and
12 5. Or 13 wins, I think.
I think they have a tough time with the Titans. I think they have a tough time with the Ravens. Obviously going to have a tough time with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And kind of to go back to the Ravens a little bit, the defense, that's where if you're playing, you don't really have to worry about that offense as much. I know Lamar Jackson is a threat to run and throw, but we just talked about how the Bills, once they face that team that's really good pass defense,
The
Ravens
they
are,
can get exposed.
That's tough. You're not going to be able to run the ball, and the Ravens are notoriously known for having one of the best defenses in the league, so it's hard. But in this AFC East, I think it may
be closer for a little longer than you think in those games within the AFC East. The Jets maybe not, but the Patriots and the Dolphins, I think, will keep those games close because they have enough defense.
I'm getting nauseous just thinking about Mac Jones and Bill Belichick.
That's a scary prospect.
Yeah, I'm literally getting sick.
If they go 17-0 this year, everyone can come back and beat us.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to New York Giants. We'll get to see what Jake's hot takes about the team are going to be this upcoming season. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour. It's week one of the NFL season right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
Cold beer's got 12 ounces. A good truck's got maybe 300,000. You only get so much until it's
against
gone.
Against my wishes, this is what Jake chose for the for his song to play for the Giants intro. It's Luke Combs, Forever After All. Aaron Valentino, Brian Rudman, and Jacob Johnson here. It's week one of the NFL season, going through all the New York football teams, giving them a little bit of a season preview. As Brian and Jake continue to dance this awful music.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is a great song. This is fantastic.
And it's acoustic.
It's acoustic, which makes it even better.
We had there was a big argument last year on eBoard on whether or not we should put country music in the rotation, and it got heated.
It's ridiculous that there isn't any.
There are so many people who enjoy country music.
It's a problem that there is.
Come on.
Well, all right.
And unfortunately, my other song I wanted to play had a swear word in it. Yeah. So
was that the Syracuse rapper?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He Jake, as he said to me before the show started, he's on that underground life. He used a different word than life, but I'm not allowed to say that word on air. So
I'm on the underground stuff.
Yeah, on the underground stuff.
Yeah,
if you can catch our drift.
Can decode that mystery.
Let's talk about the New York Giants this year. They come into this one looking to take a big step. And Jake, I got to be honest with you. I think the biggest question mark going into this year, not question mark, but the biggest thing that Giants fans and Dave Gettleman and John Mara and why is their coach's name escaping my name, Joe Judge, are looking for is a good year out of Daniel Jones.
That's key.
Yeah.
The weapons there. Everything is handed to him on a silver platter. It's like they went out to eat, 6 p.m. reservations, everyone's there, and they're like, wait, where's Daniel? It's 5:58, still not there, 6:05, where's Mr. Jones? He never comes. That's the problem with this team. Daniel Jones never comes through, and it's depressing because you have guys like Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney. There's so many weapons on this team, and Daniel Jones just sits back in the pocket, either throws an interception or gets hit, and he goes, oh, whoops, the ball, and forgets to hold on to it, and it's a turnover. I said this to Kevin the other day, I believe, and I said the Giants are going to go down and score first drive, and we're going to be like, wow, they're back. And then the next three drives are going to result in a punt, a fumble by Daniel Jones, and an interception. That's how it's going to go.
Brian, they're in a similar situation with the Jets where, you know, you're entering year three of Daniel Jones. If you don't know what he is, you might have to go and take a quarterback in the next draft. And that's exactly what you don't want to do. And Gettleman gave him a lot this year. Like yeah. Jake said, he's got the weapons now. The O-line is still a little bit questionable, but whose O-line isn't questionable?
Right.
And the Giants defense, I think, is going to be very good this year. He's got to perform. And in order for this Giants team to have success, like it does with all football teams, it starts with the quarterback.
Absolutely. And like you said, this defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. And if this offense can stay healthy, which has been a problem in the past, right? Saquon Barkley has had some injury issues, but if he stays healthy and he has all those weapons available, I mean, come on. He's got three reliable wide receivers. He's got one of the best running backs in the league.
The second best running back in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, Andrew Thomas, decent, pretty good rookie year last year.
Not really.
He'll be all right. Listen.
I don't know. I'm a little worried about Andrew Thomas. Right, Jake?
Yeah. There's a lot of things to be worried about.
Yeah. I mean, listen, but that offensive line is serviceable when you have that many weapons. But you're right. At the end of the day, it's going to be Daniel Jones. And the one thing...
We could give Daniel Jones 40 seconds behind them, and he'll still throw an interception somehow.
I've never seen you this low on Daniel Jones before.
And the ball
he'll get tackled by grass.
Yeah. Remember the you gotta watch out for the turf monster.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That really scary.
That thing is so horrifying.
I want to talk bad about Daniel Jones because when he looks incredible this year, I'll be like, yeah, I did that on purpose.
Yeah, no, you motivated him.
Because he hears me. He hears me.
Yeah.
He's definitely listening to Sports
Hour.
He
checks
right
his
now.
DMs.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times have you DM'd Daniel Jones?
Once a week.
Oh my God.
Do you actually DM him once a week?
No, last year during the season, there was a couple times I did DM him. Like after he fell against the Eagles on that Thursday night game.
Well, that's not his fault that they lost that game. It's Evan Engram.
No, but the fault that he fell.
Yeah. Oh. I said,
hey man. Tie your cleats next time.
Hey, man, here's the deal. Can you just, like, tie your shoes?
Or just not fall down casually all the time?
I'm paid millions of dollars to be athletic. Could you do that?
I'm really looking forward for the Daniel Jones read option for 80 yards this year. It needs to happen again.
Yeah.
It always seems to happen.
No
he
one
looks like such
it.
An idiot, too, like, running down the field.
It's like those times when, like, David Ortiz would steal a base. It's just so unexpected, and then it happens, and it just smacks you in the face.
He, like, leads the Giants in rushing through,
he's
like, week
He's a good
four
running quarterback, but I just...
He's just a clumsy idiot.
He's just clumsy.
Now, here's the thing.
We never would do that with Eli.
We just talked a lot of crap.
Eli didn't move.
We just talked a lot of crap about the New York Giants and Andrew Thomas and Daniel Jones. And yet somehow, some way, there's a pretty good shot they could win this division this year with the football team, the Eagles, and the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East this year. Brian, I'll get your opinion first. If the Giants defense plays well and Daniel Jones plays not great but decent, there's a legitimate shot they could go to the playoffs at, 9-8.
There's a shot, but at the end of the day, you kind of look at them on the same level as the Washington football team. If you play good defense with iffy quarterback play,
bad quarterback play. They went through like five quarterbacks last year.
No, you're right. No, but I'm saying this year. Like this year, they have Fitzmagic, who will be iffy, serviceable. He'll do his thing. He'll be Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Giants have better weapons than the Washington football team. But at the end of the day, you got to score. Like it's gonna, like we said, it comes down to Daniel Jones. Can they beat the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys? Yes, because they have certain things better than them, right? You look at them compared to Washington. Defenses are both good. It's going to be down to the offense. And when they play the Cowboys, it's going to be about whether Daniel Jones and that offense can keep up with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys offense. It's tough to say, but this will be a close division.
I mean, if Dak is going to stay fully healthy and throw for 6,000 yards.
Yeah, that's a scary offense.
Yeah, that's super scary.
I may talk a lot of garbage about this Giants team, but they are winning the division.
Oh boy. They
will win the first round of the playoffs.
They are winning.
You're making a statement right now.
The New York Giants are winning the division.
10-7.
Book it. New York football Giants.
Book it. 10-7, winning the division.
Yep.
Wow.
This defense is going to win them six of those games.
That's bold. No. You think they're going to beat the Cowboys once?
Oh, 100%.
Because they didn't do it last year.
Well, we will.
Actually, that's a lie. They did. They beat them the last week of the season.
I don't know. Listen, they got a tough schedule.
And then we got,
they got a tough schedule.
The Eagles decided, we don't want to try today.
All right, we'll win more than six games if you want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, really. That was my message. That was what I took away from week 17 last year.
We're more than six games.
I was talking to my grandfather, and my grandfather was like, it's ridiculous the Giants fans are complaining. I was like, yeah, you want to make the playoffs, don't have a losing record.
Yeah, win more than six
games. Win more than six games. But you look at this Giants schedule, they got to play the Rams, the Chiefs, the Bucks. They have their division. They have to go to New Orleans. They have to go to Tampa.
They're going to Washington on a short week, week two.
Yeah.
Easy.
They also have to go to Chicago late in the season in the cold, which that's never an easy thing to do.
And they play the Chiefs this year on a Monday night game as well.
Yeah.
Why is Giants-Chiefs Monday night football?
Going for the two best quarterbacks in the league.
You just said your quarterback couldn't stand on his own.
Buccaneers-Giants on Monday night football kind of makes sense because Brady versus the Giants. But
it was also a good game last year.
All right.
Well,
cheated out of that.
When you play Tom Brady, what do you expect?
Listen, yeah. Also, if you're going to lose, you lost the game to the future Super Bowl champ. There's not much to complain about.
You got America's Game of the Week against the Cowboys in like week 5 or 6.
Like the Giants are always America's Game of the Week.
Yeah, the Cowboys just bought them that one.
Yeah, that's actually a fact. And then that's it for primetime games this year. But yeah, you play the football team in week 2 and then in week 17. That's going to be interesting. You play in your last four games, in the Giants' last four games, they go Cowboys, Eagles, Bears, football team.
That's going to be a lot because that's going to be,
that's a big stretch.
That's your division and then another team that might be in a wild
in that stretch.
Yeah, and that's also the Bears are going to be a team that have a decent shot of being in the wild card mix.
The Giants start the season off 3-0. Guaranteed.
There's no guarantee they beat the football team.
Guaranteed.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win this Sunday because the Broncos legit could play a wide receiver quarterback and we wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they beat the football team.
Falcons, easy win. Might even be the Saints because Jameis Winston doesn't have any eyesight.
Might even be the Saints because Jameis Winston doesn't have eyesight. He got the eye surgery, bro.
Then the Cowboys.
It's all fixed.
God-awful franchise. The Rams. Okay, we'll lose. Panthers, win.
No, Sam Darnold's going to light
D,
you up.
Sammy D, baby.
He's going to light you up.
It's funny. Then the Chiefs. I mean.
That's an L.
We all know the Giants are going to probably pull that one out. All right. I think we're going 17-0.
10-7, book it, division for division Jake. What champion. Do you got? I got 9-8.
Yeah,
I think Martinez and company win them a couple times.
I think 8 or 9 wins. I think they're in the division race. But at the end of the day, if they're a little bit above where, I think they can be, with 7 playoff teams now, 10 wins may be enough to at least be in the race.
I think 9-8. I honestly think 8 and 9 could win the division as well. I'm going 9-8 officially for the New York Giants. I don't know if they're going to win the division. It all depends on Dak, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, that's.
It all.
I don't know. Listen, you can't take anything away from that Washington football team. Because listen,
yes, I can.
Listen. At the end of the day, that's a really good defense, and they were the closest to beating the Buccaneers in the playoffs last year.
They're called the football team.
All right.
I can take whatever I want from them.
Okay.
All right. We're gonna take a quick break. We saved the worst for last. The New York Jets coming up next. I got a lot to say, so be prepared for that. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And welcome back. That's really loud. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Well, guys, I think we did all this great work for the Sports Hour pod. I was really excited to post this episode. And the stream was down. Shout out to Mackenzie Roberts for telling us that the stream was down.
Thank you, Mackenzie.
Mackenzie.
Well, yes. I didn't believe it at first. I really could have solved the issue probably like 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. And we were in the middle of it. So I was like, we're good. And
Jake was on his rant about the Giants.
And then when we went on break, I checked and we had that nice voice of, there's an outage.
Yeah, I know.
So.
But
hope you guys enjoyed listening to that.
Yeah, I hope if you were listening to our predictions, they were live. But the most important season preview starts now, and that of course is the New York Jets. We saved the best.
0-17, last in the AFC East.
It's the one you're going to hear the most yelling
can we
about.
Can we take this a little bit more seriously?
All right, sorry. 3-14.
The New York Jets enter a completely new era as Joe Douglas has finally hired his coach. He has drafted his quarterback in Robert Saleh and Zach Wilson. Mike LaFleur is coming along with Robert Saleh to coach the New York Jets this year. It's going to be an interesting season, to say the least. The Jets are going to run the ball into the ground, which is why they're very high on Michael Carter.
To the left side.
Yes. And, of course, they're going to run the ball into the ground to the left side with Mekhi Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker. They're two young studs on the left side. Zach Wilson, the Mormon, he is back. He is coming to wear green. His official nickname is Mormon Mahomes. Very excited. He's got a cannon for an arm. But if I'm being honest, and I'm going to go first this time. I let the other two go first on the first two previews. I am not excited to watch Jets football this year. I am not excited to watch Mekhi Becton. I'm not excited to watch Quinnen Williams. I am not excited to watch Elijah Moore. I'm not even excited to watch Zach Wilson. There is one man that I am so excited to see on this football team, and it's not a player.
He doesn't even play, and he's excited for
it. His name is Robert Saleh, because let me tell you something. The Jets have found their guy. This has to be the dude he's taken seriously. He's not an out-of-the-box hire. He's a big-time man's man, shaving his head before every single game, doing the steps of each stadium he walks into. This dude is a man. The players love him. He's a great defensive mind. I really like Mike LaFleur's offensive scheme as well. That's it. That's the only thing I'm excited for, because I've watched this movie with Jets quarterbacks for 10 years now, and they haven't found their guy yet. And why, Brian, why is it Zach Wilson?
Listen, it's Zach Wilson because he's the next one. Because at the end of the day, listen, it's football. They've been playing this game for over 100 years, and every team has to do this. If this isn't the guy, you got to find the next one. So you have to be excited.
They've been looking
when you
for
draft
the next guy since Joe Namath.
Well, listen, when you draft a quarterback second overall, you have to be excited about it for some reason. Like, listen, this guy obviously has talent. You see his arm. He can move around. He throws on the run well. Listen, we're not really going to know what he is until we watch him play two full seasons of football, really. I think that's when you can start really determining whether he's your guy or not. But listen, at the end of the day, you have to be excited, because other than that, I mean, listen, I'm excited to see Robert Saleh coach a game, but at the end of the day, it's the guys on the field. That's who you're going to watch. And at the end of the day, it's the quarterback. That's the most important position on the field. If you're a Jets fan, you have to be at least a little excited about the potential. That's it.
I just watched it too many times, Jake. I've watched it too many times.
I just find it mind-boggling that you're more excited about a man who can't play a game, stands there on the side with a stupid clipboard, and just yells at people.
Because
you're excited for that.
Yeah, because look at my history. Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles, and Adam Gase? Are you kidding me? Robert Saleh is the man compared to those three dudes.
Do we have a nickname for him?
No, but we should. We should find a nickname for him.
No. We shouldn't. You have been the king of nicknames in Mormon Mahomes and...
Well, I can't take credit for Mormon Mahomes. That came from a Jets blog for Fansided.
Which is an awful nickname.
It's so funny.
But it's so bad because he's nothing like Patrick Mahomes.
Why it's funny. That's why it's funny, because he's nothing like Patrick Mahomes.
I'm just
excited. Except for the arm strength.
I can't believe we're doing a season preview and we're talking more about nicknames than the actual team.
Well, that kind of goes to show you how the Jets season's going to go this year. It was supposed to be a big step last year. It's been supposed to be a big step for the last 3 years. Why is this year going to be any different? Why?
Well, you look at
CJ Mosley's coming back. He played one good half.
No, you want to know why? It's the guy you're excited about.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right.
That's the reason it's going to be different, because we don't have Adam Gase leading this freaking team.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. Adam Gase was terrible. You have a guy who's actually competent at the
head. That's why I'm excited for Robert Saleh.
Okay, so then get excited for what else we have on this team. Quinnen Williams was the lone bright spot on the team last year. Elijah Moore's looked great in camp. Listen, I'm not saying this team's going to win a lot of ball games, but you will find bright spots on this roster this year.
Jake?
So, my preview, really excited to see Michael Carter.
Really? Michael Carter over Elijah Moore?
Hey, it is my preview.
Okay.
Michael Carter, pretty excited to see him play. Brian broke the mic. Elijah Moore, pretty excited to see him play. Then I'm excited to see what this defense can do. I know they haven't been great in the past, but if they're going to have to, you know, try and hold up in this AFC East with the Bills, with the Dolphins, with the Patriots, that defense is going to have to step up big time. I'm excited to see how Robert Saleh works with that defense and what he could do with that. But Michael Carter, he's on one of my fantasy teams. Yes. I'm hoping he takes off.
Yes, Michael.
Elijah Moore. Drafted him one of mine, too. If he ends up having a good year, and that's a steal and a late-round pick. So I'm looking at it more for fantasy value rather than actually watching this Jets team because it's going to be despicable.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be – I think the Jets win 5 games this year. Everybody and their mother's been talking about Elijah Moore. Like, when you're talking about the Jets and you're not talking about Zach Wilson because he's the new quarterback, it's been Elijah Moore. The kid had an amazing camp. He had an okay preseason, but everybody is talking about that this is a steal that they got in the second round, and he's going to be the number one receiver for the next couple of years. Don't worry about the sounds going on in the background.
He's being choked.
Well, listen, I'll say this. One other difference between how the Jets have handled Wilson and the way the Jets handled Darnold is that they've actually built an offense around Wilson. He is going into a much better situation. He has protection from his blind side. He has the weapons. They brought in Corey Davis. They drafted a guy who he can develop with in Elijah Moore. They're giving him a plethora of running backs that he can work with, and he's getting an offensive coordinator that can actually play to his strengths.
Yeah.
So that's one difference. But yeah, Elijah Moore, you know, from everything you've read, he's been great in camp. The biggest problem, one of the other problems with this team, and that may actually hurt, that's going to have to hurt Wilson, is that as much as they want to run the ball, the secondary's terrible, so they're going to be losing a lot of ball games, and he's going to have to throw the ball a lot more than I think Robert Saleh would like him to have to this year.
5-12 for the New York Jets, fourth in the AFC East. Gross is in here. He's shaking his head. They're not even going to win 5 games. But I think... 6-11. Oh, he thinks they're going to be better. Brian?
Yeah, I think somewhere 5-6 games is probably where they're at. I think... You know, the one thing that they do well is they're a decent running defense. So I think when they may steal a couple games, they don't have the most difficult schedule. And at the end of the day, I'm warily confident in Wilson's ability to win a couple football games this year.
Jake?
3.
Okay. 3 wins. Yeah. 1 win improved over last year.
3.
Just 1.
3.
After the draft and offseason.
Yeah, I think they'll have 3. I think Zach Wilson will get 3 wins, and Robert Saleh will end up quitting.
No.
He'll be like, I need to go back to a better franchise.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Picks of the Week is returning. After Ladd beat me on a last-minute comeback last year, we'll see where we're at. We'll skip Brian and Jake's picks for this coming season. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
Steady calling my phone. I done told you before that it's over. Leave me alone.
Now a normal radio show would play like a song that like introduces the segment that having to do with football, but Jake had to play Little TJ.
Little TJ needs to be heard by every single human, American, anyone in this world.
He mumbles,
one time
he mumbles
a day.
A lot.
Michael Gross joining us for this final segment. Hot Corner coming up at 4:00. Did you just fade that out by yourself? Oh, you just X out of it by yourself. I was going to fade it out.
No, I just paused it.
Michael Gross joining us for this final segment. Gross,
why I was
Hot Corner at 4. What are we talking about today?
Well, the Yankees flat out suck. There's no other way. There's literally no other way to
there's
put
the
that.
Most streaky team in the league.
That's actually an accurate description, I think, of the Yankees.
I said this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. Now, with more confidence, I don't think they're going to make the postseason. I don't even think they're going to make a wild card.
It's interesting.
Well, Gerrit Cole is out
yeah.
for at least one start. Jameson Taillon just went to the 10-day.
That was just announced.
Wow, I didn't see that.
And they just selected Sal Romano.
I love Sal Romano.
Yeah.
Yo, you don't don't underestimate Sal Romano.
Jake, as you would say, I believe it's pronounced Ray Romano.
Yes.
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 And then we also got a new segment that we adopted.
See, I have a name for it, but I know you're not going to like it.
Oh, I was just going to call it Rated.
No. Are we allowed to hear what the new segment is, or are we leaving it as a surprise?
This is quite the tease, I will say.
No, no, no. We're going to leave it as a surprise.
All right,
And I'm going to ask Jake if we're allowed to use this name for it. I don't know if we are, but I'm going to ask you anyway. It's all good. It's all good.
Trust you.
I'm just curious now.
Well, because he wouldn't answer his phone today because he was quote-unquote in class.
I've told Mike my Tuesday-Thursday schedule probably six times, and he still doesn't understand it.
Not a single time.
Calls me at noon. I'm in class.
Let's get into picks of the week here. We've got a couple games here. Now, typically how picks of the week works is we do the Thursday night game. Then we do the Jets, Giants, and Bills games. Then we pick one fun game that we think is really good. And then we do the Sunday night game. And then Lat and I will pick the Monday night game on Monday. So the games we've got tonight's game between the Bucks and Cowboys, the NFL kickoff for week one. Then the fun game. Then we've got Bills Steelers, Jets Panthers, Giants Broncos, and then my fun game that I picked this week was Cardinals Titans, and then Rams Bears.
Was that Lad's fun game or
no? I picked all these games.
Does Lad make his own picks?
Now Lad wrote his picks in the rundown.
Okay.
So
those are Lad's picks.
Yes, the ones next to the thing.
That makes sense. Yes. Looking at the picks, they make a little more sense.
I can assume. I know his first pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the first pick we're going to be doing is tonight's Thursday night game. We'll go around the room here. Bucks, Cowboys, Tom Brady looking to defend his title. Dak Prescott, hopefully his shoulder and ankle don't explode on him during this one. Brian, we'll start with you. Bucks or Cowboys, who are you going with?
I mean, listen, I know in the past, you know, there have been a couple of years where Brady's gotten off to a slow start, but I got to go with the Bucks. I mean, how can you not? Super Bowl champs, they brought back all 22 starters. They're at home tonight. And quite frankly, this is the first time we're going to see Dak in just under a year. I'm interested to see how he plays, but so I got the Bucs. I think they're a much more complete team.
I'm going to sound just like Aaron Valentino here, and it hurts me. Never bet against Tom Brady. Yep. It's the Bucs, and it's Tom Brady. If this wasn't week one, and this was like a week four game, and we had seen how Dak was playing those first couple weeks, I might have like a closer answer, be like, oh, I could see it. But we just don't know how he is. We've heard reports that he's not throwing the ball well, that he's not fully back to healthy. So it's the Bucks. It's always going to be the Bucks right now.
Yeah.
And that's Aaron, for sure.
Aaron, now, do me a favor. Hit the jingle,
Michael
please.
Gross has some breaking news from ESPN. Mike, why don't you
Adam Schefter just tweeted about 3 minutes ago. Ravens fear that running back Gus Edwards suffered a season-ending torn ACL during today's practice, per source.
That's their third running back to go down.
J.K. Dobbins is gone, right?
Gus Edwards is gone.
Gus Edwards now is gone.
And the other one, his name? Hill, yeah.
This is more the reason why I picked up Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. More the reason why I picked up Le'Veon Bell.
He's going to make the roster.
Yeah. Trending up.
And he's going to get a decent amount of carries.
Well, you ever heard of Tyson Williams?
No, they're running
Williams?
A three back.
No.
That's their starting running back.
Yeah. So Tyson Le'Veon Williams. Bell might be making the Ravens.
And then
squad.
Trenton Cannon is their third string.
He's their second string now.
Yes.
Well, yes, now their second. Well,
and Le'Veon Bell is their third string. Yeah. That's the order they want to do it.
So they have two former Jets on the roster now.
Yes.
Yes.
Gross, Bucks or Cowboys?
Bucks.
Yeah, I'm going Bucks.
You don't
too.
Bet against the GOAT.
Yeah, you don't bet against Brady.
Especially
learned that the hard way in the Super Bowl, Mike.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've
had
been
to take him out to dinner.
Oh yeah,
I've been watching this.
Listen,
this movie
that
for
was
a long time.
That was a wonderful dinner, and
yeah,
I appreciate
it was a nice
that.
It was nice,
and I didn't have to pay, so it works.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have to pay the week before. You got away clean 2 weeks in a row.
I got away 2 weeks in a row clean.
Case also bought me dinner that first week, which for no reason.
Case is also a hockey boy. He has no football.
Yeah. And he's playing fantasy. He drafted the Bucks defense in the third round.
Yeah, that was insane.
No. So, he auto-drafted the Bucks defense in the third round.
Yes, because he queued them.
That's true. That's true. He did do it.
All right, the Bills. Gross, we'll start with you on this one. They opened their season against the Steelers. Who are we going with here? Lad went with the Cowboys, by the way. Not that wasn't obvious.
Okay. Shocking.
Completely. I don't know. This is a coin toss for me. Big Ben, there's a lot of pressure riding on him this year. He had a really good season last year until they fell off after going 11-0. So there's a lot of pressure on him. There's a lot of pressure on his receivers. But there's also pressure on Josh Allen. He's supposed to be an MVP. And, I mean, in my eyes, he is an MVP. And so that's what I think it's going to be the Bills. I think they have a more better put together team all around. And I think that the Bills defense is going to be a lot fresher than the Steelers defense. I just think that they're going to keep the Steelers off the board, and the Bills are going to score more points. I got the Bills.
Jake?
I think it's the Bills. I mean, you look at Ben Roethlisberger, he's getting up there in age. I think the Steelers defense can do a really good job against Josh Allen in that wide receiving core, but I think there'll be too much for him, and Josh Allen will overcome that. Bills will start off 1-0. I do like the Steelers team, though, this season.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a close game. I'm going to go with the Bills, but I think what we talked about earlier with the Bills being exposed a little bit for being that one-dimensional offense, that may come into factor because the Steelers have decent defense, and they get after the quarterback pretty well, but I think the Bills are going to figure it out and win this game.
Ladd is going with the Steelers in this one. He didn't leave an explanation here, so I can't really tell you what his logic is behind that, but I'm going with the Bills. The Steelers are frauds. They kind of proved that last year. I think the Bills are going to win this one. I think Josh Allen and his $250 million arm are going to be able to take care of business week one against the Steelers. Jets-Panthers, Sam Darnold versus Zach Wilson in the Jets week one matchup. I'm going with the Panthers here. I think Sam Darnold is actually going to tear up the New York Jets and, you know, the Jets will have another, like, disastrous loss week one, and the media will freak out over it. I think the Panthers win this one. Brian, we'll go to you.
You know, I think this will be an interesting game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think the Panthers are going to win. The only way the Jets win this game, not that they're going to play terribly, but the only way the Jets win this game is if Sam Darnold loses it and does what he's done for the Jets
yeah.
3 years in a row, and he like throws multiple interceptions. That's the only way the Jets win this game. I will guarantee this. Robbie Anderson will have a long touchdown.
Yeah. You heard it here.
That
first.
That will happen.
Book it.
This weekend. Book it. Robbie Anderson will have a touchdown of at least 40 yards.
Put it in the
Sam
parlay.
Sam Darnold to Anderson.
Put it in the parlay. I like that.
I got the Panthers winning it, and Robbie Anderson will catch a touchdown of over 40 yards because this Jets deep secondary is bad, and it'll just
so
be
bad.
A slap in the face to Jets fans. That'll be
secondary is scary. Bad.
It'll just be a slap in the face that it's our former quarterback and our former number one wide receiver doing it to us. But I do think the Jets will not look horrible this week. They'll get burned at least once, but they're going to lose the game.
And I think Christian McCaffrey is going to destroy this team.
Yeah, shocker.
I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have 3 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, 1 in the air.
God. Jake's just hopeful for his fantasy team at this point.
That would suck because I'm playing Jake in fantasy this week.
They win 47-9.
Okay.
Oh,
all right, relax.
Wow. That's just Jake being mean to me,
yeah,
me
that's
and
just
Aaron.
Him being mean.
I'm going to do it.
You're going to pick up?
Wow.
I'm picking the Jets.
Wow.
This is one of their 6 wins.
Once again, I'm not sold on Sam Darnold. I have said it the entire time he's been in the NFL. I am not sold on him. Obviously, I love Christian McCaffrey. I think he's very good. I think Sam Darnold has a lot of weapons in the air.
He has a lot of weapons.
But I'm not sold. I'm not sold on him at all. Not to say I'm sold on Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not sold on any rookie quarterback. It's just how it is. Not
you
sold
can.
On Mac Jones.
Wow.
Just how it is.
There's a guy named Football Jesus.
Listen,
I think he's
in
be
the NFL,
idiot.
Nothing's guaranteed.
Not sold on Trevor Lawrence. I'm not sold on anybody in the NFL.
Listen, nothing's guaranteed in the NFL.
Jake, that's his actual nickname, though. It's Football Jesus. Like, you know that, right? Like, I didn't make that up.
Who comes up with these?
Because he looks like Jesus and plays like Jesus. So therefore,
how do we know Jesus played football well? He might have been a baseball guy. He could have been a soccer guy.
I actually didn't come up with that one.
Yeah, for those that are just tuning in, the Hot Corner will be here, so don't worry about that. There is no Ladd and Abbey experience after the Hot Corner, so Aaron is stretching out Sports Hour a bit. Jake and I will be here for the Hot Corner. Don't you worry. We're just talking some football.
Giants, Broncos. Jake, we'll start with you.
Giants. I don't even want to talk about it.
Shocking.
The Broncos don't have a quarterback. They don't have anything. The Broncos are bad. Giants are going to have 4 interceptions, and Daniel Jones is going to show that this team is a contender.
I'm going to go with the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not as quick as Jake because I'm not sold on Daniel Jones, as we discussed earlier today. And quite frankly, this Broncos team does have a decent defense and some decent weapons. They just don't have a quarterback. They're kind of like a lesser version of the Giants, where they're pretty decent outside of quarterback.
What about Teddy Two Gloves?
That's not my name for him either.
Listen, so. I'm just saying, if the Broncos had a good quarterback, they'd be a pretty good team. So listen, that defense may win them some ball games. If this is a low scoring game, they may have, but I'm going with the Giants. I think they have too much.
Every year, we look at the Giants. This is their year.
No, that's the Giants saying every year.
You said they were going to go 10-7 and win the division. What are you talking about? You booked it.
I'm not winning the Super Bowl.
What are you talking about?
Every year, some buffoon by the name of Jake Johnson says this is their year. The Giants are going to do something. They're going to turn it around. Does it start in week one on Sunday? No, it does not. No. They lose to the Denver Broncos.
What
the
is Peyton Manning going to come out
the quarterback? Mike's having a lot of like Brandon Ladd-esque picks today, the Jets and the Broncos.
Ladd picked the Panthers, by the way, for the Jets game. He also picked the Broncos.
I just don't see KJ Hamler
will catch two touchdowns.
I just don't see the Broncos.
That's your Penn State connection.
Like, it's not like, oh yeah, the Broncos don't have a Broncos legit don't have a quarterback. Like,
no, they don't.
I'm sorry. So I'm going to go with the Giants. I think this is one of their nine wins this year. I think they get started early. All right, the fun game, Cardinals-Titans. Really interested to see what you guys pick for this one. And, Gross, we'll start with you.
Titans. I think Ryan Tannehill's really good. And it pains me to say this because Matt Watling has Ryan Tannehill in the Superflex.
That's a toughie.
Yeah, but I just think that the Titans they're a really good football team, top to bottom. They have really good weapons in the air. Derrick Henry is just a god amongst men. I mean, and I don't think that there's many teams in that division that can stop the Titans. There just isn't. Right? Who's going to stop? Who's going to stop them? The Texans are going to stop them? No. Jaguars? No. Football Jesus? No. The Colts?
Maybe, defense? Maybe not enough offense.
Maybe they split in the regular season. If the one and one, but if. The Colts aren't going to stop them.
If the Wentz wagon rolls through.
All right. No,
don't even. The Wentz wagon.
Why? That's an actual thing that people say.
Folks, I just want to let you know, like this that's going on right now, Aaron giving out nicknames and then the rest of us yelling at him.
Is normal life.
That's normal.
That's every day. It's every
Sunday. Every Sunday.
But yes. I didn't come up with them.
that's the funny thing.
But you spend your life on Twitter so you know all the nicknames.
Jake, who do you have?
I have the Titans kind of the same thing as you. I think A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are just going to maul defenders this year.
Yeah.
I do, unfortunately, really like the Cardinals, so I love Kyler Murray, love D-Hop. So I think that's such a fun team. It's a great game.
Not sold
but Cardinals are going to be a fun team to watch. You know, the Cardinals are going to be a fun team to watch. Like, I think that, you know, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are exciting. Not entirely sold on them as a team in terms of winning football games. I'm going to go with the Titans, but I do think it'll be a good game. I mean, Derrick Henry, he's unstoppable. I'm sorry.
As Mike said, a god amongst men.
Ladd is going with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
We haven't had the same pick one time.
Which honestly is not shocking because that's like such an analytical pick, and Ladd is picking that.
Well, you remember last
not
year,
only
Ladd...
am I not sold on Kyler Murray, I'm not sold on Cliff Kingsbury at all. Mm. The Titans, I'm not big on Ryan Tannehill, but I think their team is just has so much
play
talent.
Play the breaking
around
news.
Them. Oh, okay. Here we go. Ready? Breaking news from Jake Johnson. What do you got, Jake?
According to Adam Schefter, the Ravens believe three-time Pro Bowl cornerback Marcus Peters suffered a torn ACL.
Oh no!
That's tough.
The Ravens season is crumbling before our very eyes here today.
Two
on Sports
torn ACLs
Hour.
In the matter of an hour. Wow.
That is sad.
Two big players.
Very upsetting. All right, final game. Rams-Bears, Sunday Night Football. Gross left the studio. Brian, we'll start with you. I'm going to go last because I got something to say about the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah. I got the Rams in this one.
You said, and I thought you were going to take the Bears.
I know. That was the point of that. I got the Rams. Listen, that's a good team. I like Matt Stafford. Listen, I like Sean McVay. I think Jake, that's why a, he's are a good coach.
No one's ever said I like Matt Stafford.
No, I'm gonna about to say something.
Yeah, because
that's
you're obsessed with him.
World.
He's your fantasy quarterback in 17 different leagues.
That's true.
I'm also gonna go with the Rams, not because of Matt Stafford. That defense is the best in the league, and the Bears are playing not Justin Fields. They're playing Andy Dalton. I hope they go 0-7 and then finally decide to put Justin Fields in and it's too late, and then the Giants get a top five draft
Listen,
pick.
If Justin Fields was playing, I would have picked the Bears because I love Justin Fields.
I'm also the actually Ohio State probably would have right picked now. The Bears if Justin Fields was actually playing.
All right, here's the deal. When Sean McVay acquired Matt Stafford, I looked at all my friends and said, the Rams are winning the Super Bowl.
So he looked at himself in the mirror.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it.
That's rude.
You just came back in. You don't even know what game we're talking about.
You're literally talking about the Rams game right now.
The Rams are winning the Super Bowl.
You missed
Matt
the breaking
Stafford
news.
Is one of, statistically, one of the greatest quarterbacks of our generation. It sure doesn't look like it because he played in that abyss in Detroit. But with Sean McVay and Matt Stafford at the helm of this team, and how great that defense is, the Rams are going to do something extremely special, and I am going to pick them for this Sunday Night Football game, and I'm going to pick them to win a lot more football games than that this season. Pick, and then we'll get out of here, Gross. Bears, Rams, lads going with the Bears.
Go Bears!
Go Bears. Go Bears. All
this
right.
Man, that is, every single pick was the opposite of mine, except for the Panthers. Every single
that
one.
That sounds about right.
I hope you had a great time at the dermatologist or whatever it is.
That's going to do it for this week for Sports Hour. It is week one of the NFL. 8:30 tonight, kickoff between the Bucks and the Cowboys. For Brian Rudman, Jake Johnson, and Michael Gross, I'm Aaron Valentino. Hot Corner coming up in just a few minutes.